WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More college protests overnight. That is police moving in on students who had barricaded themselves in a building on the Columbia University campus in New York. More than 100 of them were arrested, put in zip ties, and taken away on city buses. Meantime, at the campus of UCLA, police say it was a violent clash between two sets of protest groups that left some injured. Chris Christie is a KABC helicopter pilot who watched.
There are more objects being thrown again on both sides, and now the pro-Israelis are in the middle with Palestinians or pro-Palestinian protesters on both sides of them. They're almost being surrounded now by smaller groups from the encampment.
Nationwide, more than 1,000 arrests have been made since the protests broke out. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, meantime, in Tel Aviv, says the only thing standing in the way of a ceasefire right now is Hamas. Vice President Harris in Florida today as a six-week abortion ban goes into effect. This is ABC News. More student debt relief being announced by the Biden administration, this time for those who may have been misled by their schools. ABC's Karen Travers explains.
The White House announced this morning that President Biden is canceling $6.1 billion in student debt for 317,000 borrowers who were enrolled at an Art Institute campus between January 2004 and mid-October 2017. This after the Department of Education found the institution, quote, engaged in widespread and pervasive substantial misrepresentations that deceived students about the value they would be receiving from their education. President Biden said in a statement the Art Institute knowingly misled students and cheated borrowers into taking on mountains of debt. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
A surge of sea lions in San Francisco, more than 1,000 showing up at the city's Pier 39, the biggest groups in well over a decade. The sea lions are heading south for their mating and following schools of anchovies. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Welcome to the Lazy Oaf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Oaf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyOafLounge.com.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Consumer groups accuse big grocery retailers of price gouging. Angela Hoffman is the president of the group Farm Action.
It's one thing to raise your prices to cover higher expenses, but what these companies did is use the pandemic as an excuse to exploit the American people who needed to put food on their tables. And the FTC report shows that they're still doing it.
That report finds retailer profits rose 7% in 2023 compared to 5.6% in 2015. Wisconsin's annual Pothole Patrol is underway. Governor Evers was in Menominee Monday to launch a new round of pothole filling. As usual, the governor used the occasion to remind drivers to slow down for road crews as roadwork season ramps up again. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers get into a brawl. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Rays 8-2, but it wasn't easy. Top of the eighth, Tampa Bay's Jose Siri at the plate as both benches cleared for a fight on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
On the ground, first base, Hoskins flips to Uribe. One up, one down, Siri retired. Siri exchanging some words, and here we go. Oh, boy, that's not what you want to see. Bullpen's empty, Abner Uribe
Now, early in the game, Brewers pitcher Freddie Peralta ejected, along with manager Pat Murphy, thrown out for a second night in a row.
I'm not sure what went on with all that. I really am not. You know, all I can say is I'm glad nobody got seriously hurt.
NBA, the Bucks overcome some obstacles and beat the Pacers 115-92 to stay alive, 3-2. Doc Rivers on the win.
I did walk off the floor and I said, we're coming tonight. And I told our coaches that. I said, I don't know if we're going to win, but we're coming to play and win tonight. You can feel it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny with clouds gradually increasing by later this afternoon. A bit breezy, too, today with a high of 71. The wind west gusting to 30 this morning, backing off to about 5 to 15 by late afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy with clouds increasing and showers after midnight, 49. Tomorrow, thunderstorms, heavy rain with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 61.
Jane Mattner and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, 11:33, public cervix announcement with Dr. Laura Hanks. You can always email your question to janesays@civicmedia.us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580 AM.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are live at Short Stack Eatery, downtown Madison, 301 West Johnson, just stone's throw from the state capitol. It's a beautiful morning here at Short Stack, 60 degrees. We're going to see sunshine today. It's going to be absolutely fabulous. And temperatures staying pretty steady all day long in the low 60s. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice morning. Yeah. We're going to have our special guests in from the Busted Pencils.
That's right. Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny.
And they broadcast live from the brewery last night from Madison.
Yes. And Aqua Brew Company.
Yeah. Yeah, the tap room there.
I was there last night. A bunch of Civic Media folks were there, along with the Busted Pencil guys, and it was fun.
And they're cult. They're teacher cult.
There were a lot of teachers there last night. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. But everybody was having a good time, and everything went really well. Great show. And so we're looking forward to having both Tim and Johnny here a little bit later
after
on.
After 7 o'clock.
Yeah. In the meantime, away we go. Another broadcast from Short Stack Eatery. We're here every Wednesday from 6 to 8 a.m., and we invite you to join us. Shall we go through it's May 1st. Happy May Day.
Yeah, May Day right here.
Oh, hey, boy,
but this
oh,
is
boy.
The, now, we celebrated our six-month anniversary yesterday, right?
It really wasn't much of a celebration. We noted it. We made a little check mark on the old calendar.
We should have broke up in a few bags of snacks that we have in the coffee room. Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't.
We didn't do that.
Just a tip of the
hat. We're just guys.
Six months.
If we had women behind us on this thing, we'd be celebrating. We have guests over. The whole thing. We have appetizers, hors d'oeuvres, something to drink.
I don't think so. It's 6 months.
We're just guys. Just celebrating our six-month anniversary with nothing. No penning, no nothing.
Nothing. But today is the beginning of our next 6 months. What do you think?
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
Take it in six-month chunks.
Let's see what happens.
I don't know. Yeah, so it's going to be great today. Let's check out the National Day calendar, shall we?
Let's see what
happens. For May 1st.
What's going on today?
A lot of things for today.
All right.
Okay.
I'll take your word for it. Lynn, that's it, huh?
Yeah, there's nothing. No, we have, what is it today? Is it Interpretation Appreciation Day, Skilled Trades Day, May Day? We already covered that. Is it Law Day, Silver Service Banner Day, Chocolate Parfait Day, Mother Goose Day, Vanilla Ice Cream Day, or Loyalty Day? Which of those days does not
It is not Vanilla Ice Cream Day.
Oh, man, you're good at this. You looked ahead, didn't you?
No, I didn't look ahead.
You did.
I haven't even looked at the list.
Yeah, you are correct, though. It's not vanilla ice cream day. Why would they have a vanilla ice cream day anyway?
Why would they have any of these days?
Well, that's the question we keep asking ourselves, but we plow ahead anyway. National Interpreter Appreciation. You know, you don't run into a lot of interpreters, do you?
No, no. Well, we have our French guy.
Oh, well, that's right. Yes, Francois. Or no, what is his name? Oh, Julian.
Julian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there are about 6,500 languages in the world. 6,500. Wow. That's a lot to try to interpret.
We couldn't settle on one.
No. We're bound to come in contact with more than one of them. National Interpretation Appreciation Day on the first Wednesday of May celebrates the experts who connect those who want to communicate but they don't speak the same language. Now they have these little devices, you know, these interpretation devices that you can use.
You can wear it on your lapel.
Sure.
You can have it on your phone. You know, I talk to a lot of people of different language, and they bring out their cell phones. They put the Google Interpret on.
I know.
And we're having a conversation. See, it works.
It's pretty slick. Yeah. So we salute all the interpreters who will be out of business because of Google. Within a matter of months.
Do we have a theme song for this?
I don't think so. I don't think we have anything on this.
Okay. So I thought we might have done a little search on this, but it's okay. You know.
No. Skilled Trades Day. You know, skilled trades. They've been kind of, you know, more people getting involved with doing skilled trades, getting into technical college, that kind of thing.
We're very big on welding in this state.
Well, we need welders. We do need welders.
Do we?
National Skilled Trades Day across the nation. Many businesses required highly skilled workers to fill a multitude of trades in their healthcare, construction, manufacturing, and industry service categories. We salute the skilled trades people, you know. Blue collar, white collar,
exactly.
Whatever collar you wear, we need we need skilled trades.
Although the white collars aren't doing so well.
No, they're not. No, so
isn't that strange?
Yeah, that's time to get us more, so they can switch over to blue collar. You know,
blue collar individuals are not having a hard time finding jobs. White collar individuals are, according to a current story.
Yeah. May Day.
Yes. May Day.
Why do people celebrate May Day? Let's find out.
What happened?
May Day ushers in a traditional celebration of flowers in spring. It is. You do see a lot of flowers. You look right across the street, John. You see all those flowers in the flower pots over there? Can you see them?
Yes, right yes, there they are.
Right by the road close sign. Yeah. Makes it very festive. May Day, is that what I was talking about? May Day baskets. May Day. Yeah. One of the most popular rituals is harvesting flowers and giving them to neighbors and strangers in cone-shaped baskets. I don't know why.
Why does that sound ridiculous, doesn't it?
Stupid, doesn't it? God. These May baskets become more commonly known as May Day baskets. The current tradition is observed by hanging a cone-shaped basket full of flowers or other gifts out on the outside doorknob. And then knocking or ringing the doorbell and running away.
That is not a good idea.
Nowadays, you can get shot for doing something
like that. Easily.
But just be careful out there. May Day celebrations could be dangerous.
That's not a good idea at all.
It's not. Okay. School Principal's Day.
Well, that's nice. They didn't even celebrate that last night, did they?
No, they didn't. And, you know, the busted pencils guys will be here.
Well, they're doctors. They could possibly be... Principals, I guess, if they wanted to be.
We could ask them about principals. School Principals Day on May 1st. Your reminder to take time today to say thank you to the educational leaders who look after your children every single day.
Oh, yeah.
Principals are some of the hardest working yet most underappreciated people in the education
system. Boy, they sure are.
You know? Did you ever get sent to the principal's office?
Principal's office a lot.
Yeah.
I got suspended once. The principal was really, really a nice guy. I think he was familiar with me somehow.
Yeah.
And he just said, you know what, John, I'm not going to send you home. I'm not going to have you take a couple of days off.
Yeah.
On your suspension. I'm just going to have you stay in school.
That was nice.
Is that a good penalty or not?
I don't know. Yeah, I got suspended one day. I don't remember exactly. I think it was for wearing bell bottoms.
Wow.
Which was still
a thing. Rebellious of you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Bell bottoms. Oh, no, we can't have that. We got to suspend you.
Actually,
it was something really stupid like
my
that.
My wife's dad was a principal.
No
kidding. Here in Madison.
Yeah.
At West.
And Yeah.
Well, you know, it's
easy job. Followed. Yeah. A lot to take care of.
And in Oregon. Oregon principal as well.
Okay. Well, good. That's cool. Yeah. Do you ever give you
any boss. Bill, principal boss.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
It's national.
Yeah, he gave me a hard time. Sure, you know,
he quizzed you a lot. Were there a lot of pop quizzes?
He not only quizzed me a lot; he was very skeptical of our age difference.
His daughter, year and then Nan's.
Yeah,
how big of a difference is
There's
that?
A 14-year difference.
Wow.
Yeah,
that seems like a lot.
That is a lot, and they let me know it.
Wow. Okay.
Well, but it was her decision.
It all seemed to work out just fine. For both of you, for all of you.
Well, thank you.
National Mother Goose Day today honors the imaginary author of collection of fairy tales and nursery rhymes who loved his children.
Yeah,
National Mother Goose Day. Charles Perrault, not Carrault, Charles Perrault is said to be the initiator of the fairy tale genre after publishing his fairy tale collection in 1695. Wow, that had... stories like Mother Goose stories.
But you know, Mother Goose
Sleeping
stories.
Sleeping Beauty, Little Red Riding Hood.
Well, they're really depressing.
Well, some of them
those
have.
Those stories were not happy stories.
Not a happy ending on those.
Yeah. No? Angry, bitter stories.
People died.
Dying. Yeah.
Getting thrown in kettles and boiled and. Kids
exactly.
Being
kids going to old woman's house in a forest someplace.
Yeah, really. There were some kind of questionable stories. Mother Goose.
Just a few.
No wonder our parents and grandparents were so strange, getting reared on those
stories. They read that stuff to us, and now we're the baby boomers, turned into megas. Do you think maybe Mother Goose had something to do with a mega generation?
Now it sounds like a conspiracy theory. I don't know. It's kind of out there.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to ask again our education gurus.
Yes.
The busted pencil guys. They'll be here later.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And we got Loyalty Day. What is Loyalty Day all about?
Yeah, we don't see much of that anymore.
No, let's see. Well, let's just investigate a little bit here. As soon as my computer decides to dial it up, here we go. Ways to show your loyalty. Participate in civic events. Mm-hmm. Take part in the political process.
Yeah.
Well, this is all about civic media. Educate yourself on local, state, and national issues. Exercise your right to vote. Attend veterans events and memorial ceremonies. Learn about your heritage.
Yes.
Organize an event. Yes. Show your loyalty for American freedom on social media using a hashtag National Loyalty Day.
Yeah.
Okay. Well... it doesn't really say much about loyalty other than, I guess it was a day of recognition. May 1st, historically, used to be Americanization Day, but that was a little too hard to say. That was the American Labor Party movement slogan. The name was meant to reaffirm American freedom and heritage. However, at the time, many people thought the government or the movement was influenced by communism and anarchism.
Wow.
So they put it aside. May Day, it became, got switched to Loyalty Day.
Well.
And then eventually May Day.
Wow.
So it's a weird history.
Yeah, what kind of American are you?
Yeah, that's question nowadays. The mega.
Yeah.
Right.
It seems those same arguments are being used today. Are you a communist? Are you an anarchist?
Yeah, show your stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, where are your papers?
Exactly.
When do we get to that stage? Huh? Oh, boy. Well, we are at Short Stack Eatery, downtown Madison, 301 West Johnson Street. Just getting started on a Wednesday morning. John and Gordy, along with you. We've got a whole lot coming back. We're going to crack open the history books next.
Can't wait.
Stay with us.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with civic media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
A weather radio should be considered an important piece of your family's safety plan. It's an automated 24-hour emergency source, which is a reliable way to receive weather alerts and information about a storm, tornado, or flood in your area. And if you lose power, these radios have a battery backup. NOAA Weather Radio All Hazards Awareness Day is Wednesday, May 1st. As a Weather Ready ambassador, I suggest taking time to learn how these radios work, whether you are inside or out on your boat or camping. The Wisconsin Emergency Management website is a great place to start. Go to wem.wi.gov. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. John and Gordy live and direct from Short Stack Eatery, our favorite place to go each and every Wednesday. John has just come back with the first batch of coffee here.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, cheers to you, Johnny. Hey, 6 months on the air and away we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is it. First day of the next 6 months.
Something like that. Ah, yes. Hey, it's time to crack open the history books. What happened on May 1st? A lot of things, I'll bet you. Sam is here.
Seems quiet on the production side over there.
I'm here still. I'm a little quiet. Good. Yeah, a lot going on today. 1840, the world's first postage stamp was issued.
What a memory that is.
Yeah.
Oh, they had a big ribbon cutting ceremony, and somebody put a postage stamp on a postcard.
Yep, I'm sure you remember it well. Well, prior to that,
1840.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Prior to that, they required the receiver of the mail to pay for the postage. And so when you got your mail, you had to pay.
That was
the mail
a bad
mail.
Deal.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not good.
It's
very nice that they put stamps on it.
Exactly.
So what does a stamp cost nowadays, the forever stamp? What is it up to now?
It's going up again. So it's kind of hard to say. I thought it was like 65 cents.
Yeah,
or
somewhere in the 60s. Yeah, 62, 64. Yeah. I don't know. Oh. Okay.
We got this guy.
What's happening? What happened? Are we okay?
Then
everybody. Are.
What did you do, okay. John?
Go ahead, Sam.
Did you spill coffee?
No,
over
we're
the
just
console?
We're in a different.
No, we had a customer here, and you know, he sat over there, and he had some kind of beverage. I'm not quite sure what it looked like—a beer.
A beer?
Yeah,
60. Well, I think they serve beer.
16-ounce beer.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's never too early for beer, I guess.
Yeah, we're in a slightly different location here at Short Stack.
They serve up alcohol first thing in the morning.
Yeah, why not? What else happened on this date, Sam?
Let's see. 1924, iodized salt goes on sale. Yeah. Can you imagine?
What a great day that must have been.
Imagine a world without iodized salt.
It's hard to imagine, isn't it?
I can't even think that.
Exactly.
So many years, I had read that iodized salt helped
something
retain the color of your hair.
Oh, really?
I don't even know if that's true or not.
Yes. I think it has something to do with your thyroid.
It does.
It does that. Yeah. And I always used it in my popcorn salt. And then I guess as you get older, you don't need the iodized part of it.
Okay.
And so you shouldn't have it.
All right.
Really? Didn't know that.
Is that right?
I don't know if it's right or not.
Oh, well, gee. Well, John, Dr. Johnny giving medical advice on the air. Let's move
on. It sounds good, though.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds right. So we'll go with it till we're moving on.
I always like to give a warning. If I really don't know, if I'm not sure, I will let you know that.
Okay.
I've done this research, but it's been a long time since I've done the research, so I can't remember. It's all probably just rumors.
I wonder if the iodized salt that went on sale in 1924, was that Morton salt? Was that when they started up? Or, you know, I can't think of any other salt companies. Other than Morton?
I didn't see what brand it was, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
Yeah. But they must have had uniodized salt.
Apparently.
Regular salt
This is regular salt.
The wonders of salt.
And then we have to know why they added iodized.
Yeah, there must have been a reason.
Right, no, yeah, it was for health. I don't remember the exact condition, but Gordy, you were right. It has to do with your thyroid and a lack of iodine.
Okay.
Is not good for your diet.
Well, and what about, it isn't. It isn't good for your diet.
What about pepper? Let's go there.
Yeah. What about pepper?
Do they have iodized pepper?
All the other seasonings. What?
If they iodize salt, why wouldn't they iodize pepper?
I don't know.
Nobody has an answer to that one.
I'm not a chemist. Don't ask me.
Okay. All right, Sam. Go ahead with the rest of the history.
Doesn't taste good.
Have either of you been to the Empire State Building in New York?
Yes, I've been there several times.
Absolutely,
oh, really?
Yes, once.
Well, the Empire State
Everybody
Building.
Should go, you know.
I've never been to New York. Yeah. I want to at some point.
Really?
Yeah.
You can climb out there on the tower and everything. And...
No, you can't. Well, no, they don't allow that.
They won't let you do that anymore.
Not after these gigantic fork.
Yeah, Kong, King Kong.
Yeah.
Didn't go well.
Well, the Empire State Building opened today in 1931. Quite a long time ago.
1931. Still an icon.
Still, you know, photographs of them building the Empire State Building. Just incredible, isn't it?
They are amazing. Yep. So that opened in 1931. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
10 years later.
Almost 100 years.
Considered by many film critics to be the best film ever made, Citizen Kane premiered in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
Rosebud.
Yes. Yeah. Rosebud. Yes.
So.
Okay.
A little overblown, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, well, for its time, though, I don't love the movie, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. It's a little much.
Pacing.
Anything else happened on this date?
1971, Amtrak. Okay. Amtrak begins operation. I've never ridden
That's fantastic.
Still going.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever.
Really?
I don't think I've ever ridden a train, period.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, no.
Really?
Well, that's not good.
You should get out to North Freedom, where my daughter works at the North Freedom, the Mid-Continent Railway Museum, which is a wonderful place.
They have a short train ride there, right?
They have several train rides out there now. It's really expanded over the years, and they take you out in the country. Beautiful, beautiful flower. And they have events going on all summer long, Mid-Continent Railway Museum in North Freedom.
We went out there to North Freedom in the middle of winter.
Did you know?
To see the museum and check out the cars. The kids are really, really into trains and Thomas the Train.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I know.
But so we went out there, and it was the coldest day of the year, practically. Yeah. And when you're on that cold steel in those cars and the garages, it was the worst experience. And then changing a diaper on the sidecar on the ground.
That's not the time to go out there.
It was a tough time for all of us.
You got to wait till this time of year when spring and summer, that's the best time to go out there. The winter, I'm surprised they were even open. They usually are closed all winter.
Well, they had a Santa
train ride. Santa train. Yeah, they do that. Yep.
And we were on that, and both kids fell asleep. And it's a shroud.
Yeah.
And they didn't really care about the Santa train.
Yeah. It's like a half hour, 40 minutes. Yeah. Go out, come back. That's it. Yeah, well, that's too bad. Any birthdays of note today for... May 1st, yeah?
We've got two. Calamity Jane, figure of the Old West.
Calamity Jane.
Yeah, you heard of her?
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard of her, but I don't know what
her
story was.
One of the lesser-known kind of Wild West mythical figures.
Mm-hmm.
But cool story. I was reading a bit about it yesterday. She was born in 1852. And filmmaker Wes Anderson, born today in 1969.
Okay, Wes Anderson.
Yeah, you like...
Filmmaker. What was his... what was his claim to fame?
Grand Budapest Hotel, Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Royal
Tenenbaums was, I think, his first big one.
Oh, yeah, okay. I saw Royal Tenenbaums and what was the first one?
Grand Budapest Hotel.
That one.
Yeah.
That was a weird, crazy
movie. That's a weird
movie. He's got a very distinct style. It's kind of goofy.
Yeah, no question. Yep, absolutely. All right, well, thank you, Sam. Taking us back through the history.
That kind of worked out.
Yeah, it did.
Are we missing all the sound effects and music?
You know what?
We're missing.
I'm a pancake. I'm a pancake.
That's right.
There we go.
Okay. I was just waiting for you to say that.
I wasn't exactly requesting this particular song or music bed.
Well, this is kind of our theme here
at
Short Stack Eatery. We play this every Wednesday.
Every time
you're gonna have to play us out with the pancake song, Gordy. We're just about up against
all right. Very good. We're coming back from Short Stack.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Conversation continues about high-path avian influenza. We've talked dairy, now it's into beef. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Wednesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, says the more that we talk about this, the more that we discuss testing, the more attention it's drawing from international trade partners, and it could have ramifications.
On the trade side of things, nothing major has come out of it. Colombia, though, is one of our beef importing nations. They did ban U.S. beef here last week as a starting point. That's the only concern I think would be for the cattle market there if this does start showing up or has some testing in there, even though technically if you cook products properly, things will be safe. But it's enough to make some of these foreign entities step away from U.S. beef for a while. So that's something that's got me a little concerned right now. I may have put a little bit of pause in the cattle market yesterday.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Again, kind of a wait-and-see situation as USDA continues to execute testing on not only our lactating dairy cows that are moving across state lines, but also within the states that have already experienced high-path avian influenza in their dairy herd. There's beef testing going on there. Markets and overnight electronic trade rolling into a Wednesday. What are they talking about? I've got numbers and updates next. Research, promotion, and education. That's where your Wisconsin soybean checkoff dollars are being invested. Adam Kask is the executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, fresh off a trip to Georgia, learning more about how soybeans are used in firefighting foam.
Yep, that was down in Dalton, Georgia. We saw a demonstration of a new firefighting product, actually a foam made out of soybean meal. And the whole intention is to replace the current firefighting foam on the market right now is made with PFAS chemicals, the forever chemicals that we're hearing so much about. So our parent organization, the United Soybean Board, has been working on this project for at least a couple of years now. So down in Dalton, Georgia, we had the opportunity along with several other states and a lot of firefighters from some of the different soybean producing states to go down there and see a test of this product. It actually worked very well.
Adam Kask, executive director of the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board, talking about soy-based firefighting foam. Find more at wisoybean.org. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained 8.25 cents to 185.5. 40-pound block cheese, that was down a quarter at 174.75. Well, AA butter stood still. This morning, the Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, May contract down 9 at 18.29. June is down 7 at 18.59. And the July milk down 7 at 18.83 a hundredweight. So far, December corn's down a penny at 4.68. November soybeans are down 4 right now at 11.56. July new crop wheat in overnight trade up 2, currently 6.05 a bushel. I'm PM Yonke.
Mostly sunny with clouds gradually increasing by later this afternoon. A bit breezy too today with a high of 71. The wind west gusting to 30 this morning, backing off to about 5 to 15 by late afternoon. Tonight partly cloudy with clouds increasing and showers after midnight, 49 tomorrow. Thunderstorms, heavy rain with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it is 60.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm, built for real life.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Tim Sowers, who joins me to discuss upcoming events at the Overture Center in Madison. And we'll talk about Casey Kasem's bloopers. You've never heard swearing like this.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
One, two,
Mad Radio, the Mad Pad, WMDX 92.7 FM and 1580 AM, broadcasting from the capital city, Madison. By the way, I did test this out on Alexa yesterday. Did I mention this?
No.
I tested it out, but all you have to do is ask Alexa to play Mad Radio.
So if you say, Alexa, play Mad Radio.
Turns on and plays Mad Radio.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So if we just kept saying that every once in a while, all the Alexas that are within the listening range that are active
probably
would start
already
playing.
Listening to Alexa, but yeah, that would happen.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'll remember to say a lot.
Yeah, because I
Alexa, play Mad Radio.
Exactly, you know, and I was giving the call letters, and it would always give me some weird station.
Some
it could
station.
Not understand the call letters. Mm-hmm. But if you just say, you know, play Mad Radio, it says, okay,
here's
Mad Radio.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Why were we playing One Toke Over the Line, by the way?
Oh, yes.
Brewer and Shipley.
Marijuana. We're going to talk about marijuana and the reclassification. You know, long time ago in 1968.
Yeah.
Joe Friday, Dragnet 67 and 68,
those were the
discussed
good years.
This with a pothead. This pothead ended up being a prophet. He was right on the money.
Yeah.
Let's check this little debate out again.
Okay.
All right.
Have you been smoking marijuana?
Marijuana is illegal, I know that.
That's right.
For now. In a couple of years, things may change when all the kids grow up and start wearing ties and going to the polls. Marijuana is going to be like liquor, packaged and taxed and sold right off the shelf.
I doubt it, Mr. Shipley.
Look, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it seems to me there must be better things for cops to do than chase down wild rumors about something as innocent as marijuana. Why don't you go after the big bad guys, the heroin peddlers? I won't argue with you about them. They should be stopped.
That's right. We'd like to put them out of business. That's why we're here.
What do you mean?
We're trying to keep them from getting a new customer.
There's a big difference between marijuana and hard narcotics.
Yeah, but it's only a small step.
And everybody who takes a drink is going to be an alcoholic. We know that's not true, don't we? Let's face it, we're on opposite sides of the fence, and there's nothing we can do about it. For you, if there's a law against it, it's wrong, black and white. I just don't see things that way, that's all.
Well, you ought to give it a try, fella. It might keep you out of jail.
Maybe, but we'll change the law someday, even though your friend here thinks we won't. Believe me, it's a new world. Your laws are as outdated as bustles. Laws are going to have to be changed to keep pace with the new morality. They'll change or we'll have to break them.
What about your daughter? How's she going to feel if you end up in jail?
She won't like it any more than I will, but you'll have to catch me before you can arrest me, won't you? In the meantime, it's a big game of hide and seek, and to me, it is a waste of time.
How old are you, Shipley?
23.
Isn't it about time you grew up?
Here we go. Lecture number 131A.
No, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I don't have the time. I'm just going to lay it out for you straight. Now, you listen to me.
No
you chippy around with marijuana long enough, and you're going to buy yourself a lot of grief. After a while, marijuana won't be enough. You'll start looking for a bigger kick, and then a bigger one after that. And all of this is going to go down the tubes. Your job, your house, car, family, everything. We've seen it happen before, and not just to the neurotics and psychotics that wife of yours talks about, but to nice, clean-cut kids from good families with good educations. They start out just like you, and they end up mainliners, shooting it in their arms. And they end up dead,
blah, blah, blah.
Or wishing they were.
Oh, man.
It's pretty tough stuff.
Kind of gloomy outlook there from Joe.
I just love his voice.
I know. Yes.
Boy, but anyway, the Biden administration is going to move to reclassify marijuana as a lower-risk substance, a historic move that acknowledges the medical benefits of a long-time criminalized drug and carries broad implications for cannabis-related research at large.
Well,
by the way,
finally,
because it's of its classification, they couldn't do research into finding out if it is good for you, whether it can be used as a medical substance.
Right.
Now, if they reclassify it, then, of course, they can start doing research. And medical marijuana, of course, has already been out there, and a lot of states have legalized that more so than at least recreational marijuana. Let me just take a look here.
Yeah.
24 states,
yep.
2 territories, and D.C. have legalized cannabis for adult recreational use, and 38 states allow the medical use of cannabis products.
That's right. 38 out of the 50 states for either medical use
Well, for medical use, and then 24 states for recreational use.
Now, you have to wonder how they came up with medical marijuana, only because they don't allow the research. Right. Anyway, this change could open more avenues for research, easing some criminal consequences, and allowing cannabis businesses to bank more freely and openly. A lot of banks won't take their money.
Is that right?
Won't finance their businesses. Mm. But it remains illegal under federal law.
Right.
Even though it is reclassified, and you are possibly subject to enforcement and prosecution, regardless of the state's legality. Now, the whole thing here hinges, and this is the crazy part, right? I mean, he can go through all of this reclassification, but if it isn't, and I believe they say if Congress approves this.
Uh-huh.
Now, we can't get anything through Congress. And I'm not sure it says potentially subject to congressional approval as well.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what that means, but I hope it doesn't have to go through Congress. All right?
Well, yeah, and it's just, you know, this thing has been kicked around for decades now.
Too long.
It's just, you know, just settle it. You know, just make it legal and we can move on. But you're right, there's a lot of local regulations. In Madison, it's legal.
Yeah.
It's somewhat legal.
It's somewhat
quasi-legal. You know, it depends who you're asking, and it depends who you're talking. Nobody, I mean, there are some, what I've heard is it's legal to smoke marijuana, just not legal to possess marijuana in Madison over a certain amount.
Right.
You can have small amounts in Madison. But you get outside of Madison, it's a different story.
And you can sell the product.
Well, with this Delta 9 stuff.
With the product basically legal because it doesn't have a certain level of THC, right?
Well, yes. Yeah. There's some more technicalities in there.
But once you light it, once it's heated up, it turns into the illegal.
We're getting into deep water here, stuff that, I mean, but, you know, there are pot shops all over the place.
There is.
You know, there's head shops everywhere up and down State Street. So, and they're doing this Delta 9 stuff, you know. I mean, it is legal if you don't have a certain amount of THC.
I was driving on Willie Street, and there were guys outside their little shop, and they were saying, free marijuana, free marijuana. They held signs of cars driving by, free marijuana. I almost stopped over them. What the heck is this all about?
Can you imagine that, you know, back in the late 60s, early 70s? It just was a different, it's a different world.
And
now,
that's why it's illegal in the state, and they're doing that.
Yeah.
And we have so many of these shops around.
Yeah.
I don't know what to call them.
Well, they're not head shops exactly, but they're dispensaries.
Dispensaries,
more
that's
or less.
Right. That's That's it.
The actual marijuana, well, the old style marijuana, I don't even know how to say it, but you can go over the state line. And of course, Wisconsin is surrounded by states where it's legal. In Illinois, completely legal for recreational use or medical use. In Illinois, Iowa, Michigan, Minnesota, so all around us, we're surrounded by legal states. That tax money is going over the border.
Over the border.
As Wisconsinites go, you know.
They're taking all the Wisconsin cash.
Down to Beloit or down to Galena, where all these dispensaries are. Yeah. That tax money is going by. It's it was like $10 million a year in tax money that we're losing just because we're an island state of illegal.
Well, because there is a gerrymandered Republican Party really has encased us in amber. We're not moving forward. We haven't moved ahead in at least 15 years in this state. I mean, we talked yesterday about all of the things, all of the problems in the state that could be solved.
Well, they're right.
And decided not to do it.
Yeah, everything's just pending.
Everything is pending. They've got the money. And, of course, you know, they want to give a tax cut of $3 billion, right?
Yeah.
And they don't want to spend any of this money. They don't want to give handouts. You know, these government handouts make people want to vote for that party, whoever hands out that money.
Right.
And they don't get the idea that maybe if they started handing money, like the Democrats, they might actually get actual votes.
Some votes.
Instead of having to gerrymander or try to game the system somehow.
Obstruct
election polling places.
Yeah. And, yeah, they just hang on to the money,
just
block it from being spent the way it was allocated.
Pretend like this doesn't affect the state at all.
Right.
I mean, there's so many people in the Upper Peninsula buying marijuana up there. Can you imagine? There's nothing really to do.
I've been to the Upper Peninsula. You're right. There's really nothing going on.
Do.
It's beautiful.
So,
it's gorgeous up there. You know, beautiful. Absolutely wonderful places to go. But, there's not a whole lot going on? I mean,
I'd be reclining in a room filled with marijuana smoke.
You would be?
For every day, yes, every day.
With the Upers?
Well, there's nothing up there
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, well, right there.
Unless, you know, unless somebody, you know, wants to give us a call and tell us that in the Upper Peninsula, they do have a lot of things to do.
Well, I think if you're a skier, you know, in the wintertime, or a snowmobiler, when they have snow up there, yeah. I don't know they had any
Didn't they have
real significant
giant
snow.
Beavers up there? I saw a film that had giant beavers.
There was a film called 100 Beavers.
Yes,
that,
100 Beavers.
That Pete Schwabo was talking about. That's really funny. I've seen the clips from it.
Right. The trailer is really fantastic.
It's excellent.
But yeah. You have to kind of pay for it. It's a pay-per-view type of thing. So I think it's around $3 to watch.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
But you can watch. What is the one, the Lake Michigan Monster?
I don't know about that one.
Anyway,
that's another movie.
That you can watch online.
Okay. 608-879-8255. We're live from Short Stack Eatery. In just a little while, we'll be visiting with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny from Busted Pencils. They're going to stop by. We were at Monaco Brewing last night. Man, big crowd, lots of teachers there, and Busted Pencils did their show live from there.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really, really excellent event. A lot of fun and a lot of people from Civic Media there. And good times had by all.
Now, I got to bring this story to the fore because we've all sent packages back to Amazon because we weren't happy with the product, or it broke, or it came broken, or something like that.
Send it back.
So a couple did that, but they accidentally sent their cat with it.
How does that accidentally happen?
So if we could just play cut three.
Okay.
So we started over with the numbering system.
Well, thanks for pointing that out.
It's a new month.
I'm sure plenty of our listeners were wondering.
All our listeners know that I'm horrible at numbering these tracks, and I often play something completely different. So, but this time, number three, the cap being shipped.
Okay.
Let's check it out.
2 weeks ago, Galena vanished.
She just mysteriously disappeared. We had absolutely no idea what happened to her.
But when it seemed all was lost.
And then we got the most amazing, insane news in the entire world.
A phone call. Galena's microchip was detected 650 miles away near Riverside, California. Turns out Galena made her way to California via Amazon.
She was trapped in an Amazon package.
The Clarks were returning some shoes in this box.
Really big sized Amazon package.
Galena managed to go undetected.
We had no idea, so Matt took her to took the package to the drop-off without knowing that our dear cat was inside.
She was discovered by Amazon employee Brandy, who took her under her care until the family could be reunited. Galena went 6 days without food or water in the box. The Clarks say her recovery has been nothing short of miraculous.
Like, it was just the best, because I know that under other circumstances that she wouldn't have been found. We're just so happy to have her again. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
So happy ending.
The cat jumped in the box?
Yes.
Got shipped. What a horrible ordeal for the cat.
Package returned to Amazon. Trapped in the box.
Yeah.
Wow.
Something like 6 days without water or food? Oh, man. It's horrible.
I mean, that cat had to have panicked, right? I mean, it's in this box. Packed up with other boxes.
Terrible.
Yeah. So, I'm surprised it took so long. I mean, 6 days is a long time. Packages are usually gone through and returned instantly, like 2 or 3 days at least.
Right.
Or at least
Why
minimum,
did it take
rather.
So long?
Yeah.
I guess they was shipped across the country, so it took a while.
Yeah.
Well, it all is well that ends well, and thank goodness the cat's okay.
Yeah, I've got a great story coming up. This is about universities. Now, we're experiencing all these protests across the United States.
All over.
But you know what? Protests, the teacher protests, along with the students, it's how universities actually began. I've got a great story on this. Check it out.
Stay coming tuned. Up next on the John and Gordy Show, live from Short Stack Eatery. Good morning.
You're listening to Matt Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Your chance to win a distribution deal, be a co-headliner, get discovered, and learn more about the music business is back with Wisconsin Dells Music Summit, May 10th and 11th at the Chula Vista in Wisconsin Dells. Our celebrity panelists have worked with great musicians, producers, and artists like Drake, Adam Levine, Rihanna, Usher, Pussycat Dolls, and more. Learn key aspects from top industry professionals as they give once-in-a-lifetime advice to stay on top of the technology, laws, and trends in the music business. This event will include beat battles, ciphers, collective panel discussions, Q&A segments, and breakout rooms for masterclass teachings. You'll want to have your talent ready to share on an MP3, WAV file, or QR code for this resume-building opportunity. Ticket sales on Eventbrite February 1st. Packages include overnight stay at the Chula Vista, water park passes, and admission to the Wisconsin Dells Music Summit May 10th and 11th. Call 608-516-4354 or email wisconsindellsmusicsummit@gmail.com with questions.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Yeah, baby. Mad Radio, WMDX, 92.7 FM and 1580. I can't really even hear myself.
Yeah, really?
No.
Okay. Well, we're trying to work on
1580 AM. Okay. Anyway, you know, I have this great story. I was looking up all the protests, the history of protesting, and I came across this story, which was kind of an eye-opener, really. Mm-hmm. According to the book, The Bright Ages, faculty and students uniting against outside political interference is baked into the core of the modern university. In fact, it's quite literally why we have an institution called a university.
Do tell.
Yes. In the late 12th century, a religious school centered around the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris saw a group of students in Paris who got swindled by a shopkeeper. The school's teachers, in solidarity with the students, refused to teach and threatened to move the school elsewhere unless the king listened to the students and provided justice. Wow. King Philip II, Augusta of France, did just that. He issued a royal decree protecting the teachers and students, saying they were a corporate body that together enjoyed certain rights. Hmm. The word in Latin he used for this corporate body was universitas.
Universitas.
Yes, isn't that crazy? Universitas.
Okay.
Almost the same scenario played out again many years later. Shopkeeper tried to con some students about the price of wine. This time, however, the innkeeper got annoyed and had his servants beat students up.
Wow, no.
Yes, what? Okay. So the teachers again rallied to the students' help, invoked their status as universitas. This time, the monarchy refused to go along with the teachers and the students. Now get this, see if this doesn't sound familiar today.
Okay.
The king was increasingly concerned about the independence of this corporate body, this universitas, about the dangerous things that they were being taught in this school, such as Aristotle, about the need to discipline and control these young people. This bar brawl was a perfect pretext for the politicians to take control of the school. Does that sound like today at all?
Boy, does it.
It does, right?
It's incredible.
Okay. So eventually, anyway, this kind of worked its way through the system, and the Pope at that time stepped in and issued a decree recognizing the university's authority to self-regulate and limiting the powers of the king and bishop over the teachers and students.
Boy.
This organizing principle was copied in other schools across Europe. And today, universities stand as one of the proudest and most visible legacies of the history of medieval Europe. They are a reminder that institutions of higher learning are a union between teachers and students dedicated to the pursuit of knowledge, and outside forces will always seek to control that pursuit. Put reins on young learners, and we've seen that happen over and over and over in this state.
Right.
The real history of the university, the most authentic and medieval, reveals that with solidarity between teachers and students, a community that continues to learn together once stood against kings. That history reminds that even now, together, we can stand against the real outside agitators, politicians, who care so little about free speech and education. That's the article. Isn't that a great article?
When did all this start? Like in the 16th?
Yeah, in the 12th century.
12th century?
Right. Wow. Universitas.
Universitas.
Shortened to university.
It's amazing. There it is. That's how universities got started.
Self-governing.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, the pursuit of learning is so independent of the government.
Yeah.
The government should not be interfering in this.
Right.
And the government, our government, state government, has been interfering with the university forever. At least it seems that way. They have restricted the university since the Walker administration. I remember that the university, the art department, wanted to have a little a poster fair from all of the signs, imaginative signs that they had during the Act 10 protest.
Sure.
They wanted to celebrate the university and all the students and all the individuals who stood up against the system, right? They wanted to have a little art fair on that.
Sure.
Our legislature, Steve Noss, basically came out and said, we are going to cut your funding, destroy your department, basically, if you have that fair.
Wow.
And for some reason, that just, you know, it went away. They didn't have the fair, and they allowed that to happen. I can't believe it. That seems like a First Amendment issue beyond anyone's imagination, and no one ever did anything about it or said anything
about
it.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it'd be interesting. You know, we're going to have the Busted Pencils guys here shortly at the top of the hour. Maybe we can talk to them about some of this. Yeah. It's crazy how it really not a lot has changed.
Right.
The politicians trying to meddle with what the university – their universities – really created to help students, you know, discover things on their own, you know, get the knowledge, get the education, and learn how to think and learn how to investigate and figure things out for themselves, but with some guidance along the way.
Yeah, this
and
one,
without interference from the politicians.
This one line just says it all. The real history of the university, the most authentic and medieval, reveals that with solidarity between teachers and students, a community that continues to learn together once stood against kings.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great line. You know?
And here we are in 2024, worried about a king possibly taking over.
Well, there are so many issues nowadays where government is trying to hold back free thought, protest. They want to keep all of that at bay. I believe in Florida, of course, you know, they made it illegal for a while.
Right.
The Supreme Court, by the way, allowed the ban on protests in Florida to continue while it goes through the courts. Instead of putting it on hold, they let it go. This is just ridiculous. And now we're seeing it here because of what is happening and what they anticipate. They hope that Trump gets elected so that they can move forward with all of this.
Yeah.
But at this point, right now, they're really holding the universities tough against being able to protest and the free speech rights of Americans everywhere.
Well, it's not stopping the campus protests. You know, those are continuing, and people are setting up encampments right down the street here, Library Mall. They've got an encampment.
The victimized students in all of this is just it's something I can't wrap my head around.
I know.
They're getting suspended. They're getting thrown out of school. It's just wrong.
It is. Hey, that's going to do it for our first hour, but hey, the show continues, and when we come back, we'll be getting into our next hour with the Busted Pencils dudes, Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny, coming up.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we welcome in Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. We'll discuss 3rd District congressional politics and more.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.